is your hero? Today is the age of superheroes, especially in the movies. The Marvel comics have created what's called the cinematic universe of all of their characters, and you can find anyone from Iron Man to Black Widow, the Incredible Hulk, to Captain America. And DC Comics is following right behind and trying to create their cinematic universe. They just had Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, in which they had Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, and a few others. While some of you may continue to watch or read about these heroes in all of their adventures, some of you may have other heroes as well. Police officers, firefighters, Marines, politicians, celebrities, musicians or singers, or perhaps even the ones that I mentioned a few moments ago, McDonald's workers or dentists or doctors. Perhaps you even try to imitate your hero or heroes in some way or another. You may try to make good decisions as you have seen them make decisions and choices in their films. It's like you want some part of your hero to rub off on you in some small or perhaps even large way. In the book of Hebrews, the author lists out character after character, person after person of the Old Testament, all of these people being faithful to God and His Word. From Abel and Enoch to Abraham and Isaac, from Moses and Gideon to Samson and David, it's quite the impressive list. Well, none of these men were any more than that, just mere men. They were examples to be followed in their faith. The author of Hebrews includes this list to remind us of heroes of the Old Testament and how they were faithful throughout their lives. He does this to show that they remained true to the Word of God, even though they had not yet seen the Messiah. How much more do we have knowing who our Savior is? This morning we heard a letter from Paul drawing on the same concept. He was writing to Timothy, his beloved son in the faith, one on whom he had laid his hands at his ordination. The focus of this part of his letter to Timothy is that Timothy should not be ashamed of the gospel, but that he should continue to follow the pattern of sound words, the same pattern that he had received from those before him. So like a good mentor, Paul opens this letter to Timothy. I thank God, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith that dwelled first in your grandmother Lois, and now your mother Eunice. And now I am sure it dwells in you as well. Paul cannot help but express his joy at having this younger man following him in the faith and seeing his sincere earnestness and purpose in delivering the gospel that he himself was preaching and teaching. Yet even in his writing to Timothy of his faithfulness and his work in the ministry of the gospel, Paul ties this earnestness and faith and sincerity of faith to his predecessors, to his mother and to his grandmother. So how about you? Do you have a younger person in the faith who looks to you for mentorship? And perhaps at the same time brings you joy because you see them also learning and continuing in the faith just as you have. And it doesn't even have to be someone that you've converted to be in the faith, although it could be. But it could be a child or a grandchild, or perhaps someone else that's younger than you that looks up to you and tries to imitate you. We are all called to encourage one another in the faith, and as we do, I can guarantee you that you will never know where it's going to lead next. Now, some of you have heard before how I grew up in the Lutheran church, that I would attend the church out in the countryside with my grandparents, and they kept me in the faith that way, and I also had an uncle who taught Sunday school at that church. But what I may not have shared before is that the pastor at that congregation when I was younger came to be the same pastor or one of the same pastors that I had in my church in my undergrad at the University of Illinois Springfield, Pastor Cross. Granted, it took a little bit of reminding. Pastors meet a lot of people over the years, and sometimes they need a little bit of gentle reminding to remember who you are. But after I had done that, Pastor Cross remembered me and remembered my grandmothers who had been bringing me to church. So when he learned that I was considering the ministry, he was overjoyed and encouraged me every chance that he could get. One Sunday following service, he took me back to his office and he showed me his whole library of books. And he told me that when I entered the seminary, I could use any one of his books for free. Unfortunately, Pastor Cross passed away before I entered the seminary. But shortly after I learned that news, I also learned that he had left in his will any of his books from his library to me. And so many of the books that you will find in my office, you might turn the cover and find that it was from Pastor Carl Cross. That was Pastor Cross's way of being a mentor in the faith. He remembered my grandmothers and encouraged me in the same faith that they had been teaching me to continue to follow that same pattern of good words. He left me his library. Do any of you have similar experiences with someone older than you in the faith? If so, then pay attention to what Paul tells Timothy next. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Whether you are being mentored by an older man or an older woman in the congregation, perhaps even one from the LWML, Paul encourages not only Timothy, but you and me to fan into flame the gift that we have received, the gift of God. What is this gift? Well, for Timothy, it was a gift of extra grace that he may practice his ministry in true faithfulness, that he could practice in God's in giving the law and the gospel in its full truth and purity. Yet you have also been given all that you need to fulfill your vocations, not only in your occupations, but even as you mentor those who may be younger than yourself. Don't neglect these gifts. As Paul reminds Timothy, you've been given these gifts by the saving work of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Your mothers and grandmothers have brought you to church. Or if you are a recent convert, you have a mother in the church herself. And through the proclamation of the gospel, that good news that your sins are forgiven in Christ Jesus, suffering and death on the cross, you can remain in that pattern of sound words. By Jesus' death, God has not only forgiven you your sins, but has saved you and called you to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus. None of us, not you, not me, not your grandmothers, your mothers, not my grandmothers, not my mother, not Paul, not Timothy, none of us deserves God's grace found in Christ Jesus. But you have been called into the light of the gospel from the darkness of your sin, the end of which would have been your end in separation from God for all eternity. But because Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary for you, your sins have been paid for. You've been made a child of God, and you've been made a servant of each other. God sent his own beloved Son to bear the punishment of separation from him for us, and that's just what Jesus did. To this day, we continue to be undeserving of God's gifts of grace. The only salvation that we have resides in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, and him alone. There is no plan B. As we heard last week, while we don't need the resurrection of anyone else, we do need the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That resurrection bears witness to Moses and the prophets that everything said about him was true, that he would be a suffering servant for your sake and my sake, and that's exactly what Jesus was. He was the suffering servant that we might become children of God and servants of one another. And that is precisely why Paul encouraged Timothy not to be ashamed of the gospel, but to follow the pattern. Just look at how Paul concludes the opening to his letter to Timothy. Paul reminds Timothy that he was made an apostle to bring life and immortality to life through the gospel, for which he was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why he suffered as he did. But he was not ashamed, for he knew whom he had believed. And so Paul concludes, Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. None of us ever could or can or ever will be able to save ourselves by what we have done, by what we are doing, or by what we will ever do. But that is all taken care of in the gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now we live in grace, continuing to follow this pattern of sound words. But what does this look like? Well, it looks like doing your God-given vocations. But it is more than that. After all, here in this letter, Paul doesn't even talk about doing his vocation so much as saying that he needs to remain in the pattern of sound words. That is, hearing God's word. You know, elsewhere, Paul talks in depth about following our vocations, but here he says, follow the pattern of sound words, keeping God's word. That's what any and every hero of the faith has done their entire lives. No matter which hero the author of Hebrews mentioned, each of them continued in God's word after they had been called. They not only heard it, they trusted it for their salvation. But while Moses and Abraham only heard of a Messiah to come, you and I know of that same Savior, Jesus Christ, that Paul and Timothy both worshipped and proclaimed in their lives of faith. Paul was writing at a time when literal imprisonment had either already happened to him or was certainly coming for him. And so he tells Timothy, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be afraid of proclaiming what Jesus Christ has done for you and for all people. I am not ashamed. Follow the pattern. Today we are called to follow that same pattern. So dear brothers and sisters in Christ, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you and follow the pattern. In Jesus' name, amen.